Welcome to the Music Industry Insiders Podcast, a production of Idle Tuesday's Recording Studio, an LA-based nonprofit on a mission to influence culture through positive music. I'm your guest host, Connor Haddon. The heart and soul of the music industry is right here in our own backyard. So we've reached out to a few of our friends from the four corners of the industry and have invited them to visit us right here on the Music Industry Insiders Podcast. Over the next few months, you'll be hearing from seasoned musicians, composers, music supervisors, studio owners, music publishers, teachers, professors, influencers, and more. Each guest works in a different part of the music industry and will be sharing personal experiences and valuable tips from their distinct perspectives. With each of our guests, we hope the Music Industry Insiders Podcast will help paint a vivid picture of the music industry and help answer a few questions you may have as you pursue a career in music. Again, welcome to the Music Industry Insiders Podcast. Let's get started. Gino Munoz is a trumpet player, entrepreneur, and educator. Gino's talent as a musician has taken him to all 50 states in the U.S., most Canada provinces, and five continents. He has studied with the Los Angeles Philharmonic's Rob Roy McGregor, Long Beach Symphony's Mark Garibrandt, Indiana University's John Rommel, and many more. After obtaining a Bachelor of Arts at Azusa Pacific University, Gino returned to APU to pursue his Master of Music Performance. Between performing and educating young musicians, Gino founded the entertainment company Night Owl Productions, as well as the recording studio, 37 St. Joseph Studio. Gino has performed on television shows like The Ellen DeGeneres Show, Saturday Night Live, Jimmy Kimmel Live, and Good Morning America. Gino has performed on television shows like The Ellen DeGeneres Show, Saturday Night Live, Jimmy Kimmel Live, and Good Morning America. He has performed with several popular artists, including Michael Bublé, The Four Aces, Big Bad Voodoo Daddy, and No Doubt. Gino has taught at Grammy Camp, Don Bosco Technical Institute, and is now teaching at Citrus College. Hey guys, what's up? It's Connor Haddon, one of the Idle Tuesday studio interns, and I'm going to be guest hosting the Idle Tuesday's Music Industry Insiders podcast today. So thanks for tuning in, guys. Today, our guest is Gino Munoz. Gino, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Connor.
That was probably, what, my third take? Trying to get that right?
You nailed it all three times.
Thanks, man. Well, thanks for coming. So obviously, we were talking earlier, and you've done... Like, just talking to you, you've done so much. I'm just going to start off with, how did you, like, get here? What do you think kind of were, like, some defining moments that got you to where you are that you, like, first come to mind?
Yeah, you know, it was, it's a really good question. I've never really thought about this. You know, as a young guy, I was really uncertain about what I wanted to do for a living. Mm-hmm. And I actually went to six colleges.
Wow.
Yeah, six. And APU is my sixth college, but I started out at Cal Poly as an econ major, I think, and moved on to Mount SAC to general ed, and then later transferred to San Diego State as a international business major.
Okay.
And failed miserably there. And then I found myself at Citrus College, and there I met basically someone who became my mentor, who kind of really, really pointed me in the right direction as far as, like, you know, understanding work ethic. And you know, just what it meant to basically be a man too. I mean, he just really, really shaped me. And from there, I transferred to Indiana University as a music major. And after that, I got a job touring. So I went on the road for a couple of years and came back home and wound up at APU and finished my education there with both the undergrad and master's degree. By that time, I was like 35, so I was already an older guy, and you know, I had done and seen a whole bunch between the time I graduated high school to graduating from college. You know, I took longer than the average guy.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't change a thing. And you know, from there, I just continued to work as a musician and teach and found that I loved teaching just as much, or maybe even more, as I did playing, you know, as a musician. Mm-hmm. So you know, it's just staying on the path of what I truly loved and working hard at it. You know, just got me into different places.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So what made you kind of want to stop touring and go to school during that time?
You know, I found myself, you know, this tour was straight. I mean, there was no coming home. I mean, I was literally on the road for 2 years, mm-hmm. and in a different city every day, somewhere, you know, it took me to 50 states. I think all the Canadian provinces, maybe, you know, where it got too cold, we didn't go there, but you know, we were everywhere, 5 continents, you know, I think at some point I just realized that I wanted stability. You know, I wanted to have a family, or figure out how to have a family, and mm-hmm. and I figured that you know, education was probably the way that, or the path that I needed to take to get there. So,
that's cool.
Yeah.
Do you think that with all of that education, you said 6 universities, do you think, can you kind of pinpoint different things that you take from each of those universities that either helped you or kind of poured into the way that you teach and that you kind of facilitate your classrooms at Citrus?
Yeah, I don't know if every university, but for sure, I mean, I got a lot out of Citrus College. I really, really, really dug in there. I turned into a guy that didn't really have a great work ethic to becoming a young guy that was practicing 8, 9, 10 hours a day and just was relentless with just, you know, keeping at it. And it was something that was really important to me. And I just couldn't see myself doing anything else other than playing music at that point. That was it. That was what I really, really had a passion for. And I knew my mentor would always tell us that if your parents are working 8 hours a day and you're going to school, why wouldn't you practice 8 hours a day? Why wouldn't you make that your job? And it's always stuck with me, you know, it's never left.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like the way that I operate. I mean, I'm working all the time. Even if I'm at something fun, like let's say a Laker game, mm-hmm. I'm still working. I'm on my phone. I'm sending, you know, text messages or emails. And I think that's just kind of like the what I learned, that work ethic that I learned through my time at Citrus.
Yeah, that's cool. So as a professor of music, and you kind of were just talking too about like work ethic and kind of always working and just like what being a musician really entails and all that you know, requires of somebody, what do you think in terms of teaching music and music being in the music industry, what is most important to you to like pass on to your students, or how do you kind of implement that into their lives and their ethic?
What do I impart on my students? Gosh, I think there's so many things. You know, my ways are not typical of most educators. I mean, because I think it's, you know, when we're speaking outside and talking about 10% of what we do as musicians.
Yeah.
I mean, well, what we do as musicians is only 10% of the whole picture. I mean, I even talk about things, you know, it's from like the way that they present themselves, like, you know, the clothes that they wear. I mean, think about this. If a former student of mine, we talked about this, is working with Halsey, right? He's playing drums in Halsey's band.
Yeah.
I had a conversation with him. He came up to me like, hey, what do I have to do to work at this level? And I looked at his wardrobe, you know, what he was wearing that day. He's like, you need to change this and you need to get a good haircut.
Mm-hmm.
So he took it to heart. And when I saw that kid again, you know, the following week, he totally had like this whole different vibe to him, you know, and now he's like kind of gone overboard with it. Like when you see this guy, like he looks like a rock star.
Yeah.
You know, like I meet up with him, you know, for coffee or something. He looks like he belongs in a band. It's undeniable. He's not tatted up or anything, but he has this look to him. And that's a thing that I really try to impart on young people is that yeah, you have to be good at the craft, but you also have to present yourself as a business, right?
Yeah.
And you know, it you have different models. I mean, and there's nothing wrong with either of these models, you know, the Walmart model or the Nordstrom model. Which model do you want to be as a product?
Yeah.
Right? And it's important that, like, we figure this out. You know, and in some terms, you know, I take the Walmart school of thought and I try to use it as a business person, right? But is that the way you want to present yourself as a Walmart or a Nordstrom? Am I making sense to you?
No, yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of. Do you think essentially, because there's always going to be good musicians.
Tons.
Yeah. And
tons.
Everybody's going to be able to do that much more than the next person. But yeah. To some extent, there is that. Where's your niche and how are you going to stand out from that kind of?
Absolutely.
In a sense?
Yeah. And here's another great example. I mean, as a working musician, I remember I would get gigs because I would stay at the end of the night mm-hmm. and I would help the drummer load his drums into the car.
Yeah.
Or I'd wait and wrap chords for, like, you know, the other guy, because I play trumpet. You know, so my gig is easy. I just put the thing into my bag and I'm out.
Yeah.
You know, so I figured, like, you know what, if I stick around for an extra 5 minutes and help this guy out and just, you know, I walk away feeling better about myself, they walk away feeling good that, you know, that I was around. And never thought about it in terms of, like, work, but it turned into work because they liked having me around just for the sole, you know, thing that I was helping them out with their stuff. You know, they thought I was a nice guy.
Yeah.
You know, and were there other, you know, players that could do what I did? Absolutely. There were tons of great, great musicians out there. But always trying to figure out, like, how are you going to be different from the next guy, right? And not be the cookie cutter.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Showing up with a great attitude. I mean, that's like a bigger percentage than being a great musician to me. You know, as a businessman, I'd much rather hire a lesser musician if you're going to bring a great attitude to the table. Does that make sense?
No, totally.
You know? So, I mean, I think that there's just so many things that I constantly think about as a teacher and imparting these things on young people, because it's you got to play great. That's a given. You have to play great. But now what? Once you play great, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
And to be different from the next guy.
Yeah. Because you know, like, tons of people, we were talking about it earlier. Do you think that even that part is so much more crucial to being successful in the music industry is having those relationships and making sure that, you know, through the grapevine, people are saying, okay, you know, Gino, great guy, you know, he's going to be, like, solid. He's going to, like, have a great attitude. Do you think that plays, like, a really crucial part in the music industry?
Well, it really depends on what you're trying to do. I mean, there's some people that are just absolutely great at their craft and, you know, sometimes they're not the nicest of people.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, if you're going to be a working, you know, blue collar guy in the music business, like just trying to get, you know, a road gig or something. Absolutely. I mean, that is going to play a big, I mean, this really became apparent to me. I used to be one of the faculty for the Grammy camp years ago. And we used to do it at Citrus College. And I remember listening to the trumpet player from Earth, Wind, and Fire, right? And it's a panel discussion. It's him and the sax player. And he had just got the gig, and they were talking about getting jobs, and the sax player was saying, like, hey, when I interviewed you, what was the first question I asked you? Speaking to the trumpet player. Mm-hmm. The trumpet player says, the first question you asked me is, like, what was I like on the road? And he says, and what did that mean? He says, well, you explained to me that we were on the road at least 300 days out of the year, and you wanted to make sure that I was not going to get dark, that you're basically, that we're going to be teammates for 300 days out of the year, and I just wanted to make sure that you had the right attitude, and you're going to be happy to be around me all the time, because it's going to get really old if you're going to get dark.
Yeah.
And I think it's such a key thing. I mean, if you just have a bad attitude or you just don't want to be part of the family, I mean, it just makes life hard on, especially on the road.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you think that has some extent a part in just even the creative aspect of being, like, musical and working with people?
Absolutely. There's a colleague that I work with. His name's Alan Waddington. And it's fascinating to me because he has the ability to change my mindset instantly.
Yeah.
And you know, I think about some gigs that I show up to, and he's a drummer. And you know, usually as a horn player, I get placed close to the drummer. And I remember just thinking, like, man, I'm tired. I've been playing a lot. I'm just done. I can't wait for the show to be over. I'm looking at my watch before the show even starts. Mm-hmm. And they throw a downbeat, and instantly Alan Waddington is like out of his mind. Like he's like Animal from the Muppets, you know? And I just remember thinking, like, wow, like I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm so much in right now, you know? Like, how could I not be in with this guy just like, you know, doing his thing? And that to me is like the sign of a great pro, you know, someone that's going to inspire you to, like, you know, to raise your level.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm always looking for that. I really love playing with those types of guys that are just going to elevate you and inspire you to be something unique and different.
Yeah.
You know,
that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even just talking about performing with other people, cause you've performed with, I saw Michael Bublé, Gwen Stefani.
Yeah.
In those scenarios, what do you think is the most important thing for, like, supporting those acts and playing with those people for you? What, in those scenarios, what are you thinking? What is going through your head whether you're playing or preparing?
Don't ask a lot of questions.
Really?
Seriously. You know, as a musician, I've really learned, you know, when not to speak and know when to speak, you know, and just knowing when to lead a conversation and when not to lead a conversation. And around those types, you know, I've just learned to really not say much and just leave them alone.
Yeah.
You know, those types get you know, asked a lot of questions or even just grabbed for that matter, mm-hmm. you know, just out of the blue from just anybody walking by.
Yeah.
So, you know, I really just try to stay out of the way and just, you know, mind my own business.
Yeah. Interesting. You ever put your foot in your mouth on anything?
No. At that point, I mean, I was already an older guy, and I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I put my foot in my mouth plenty before that, but by that point, you know, I'd figured out I just got to be quiet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is kind of like a basic question of, like, essentially, now what would you tell, like, your younger self? But what do you think you know now that when you were younger you didn't quite grasp or you weren't really aware of, and when you were either playing gigs or with other artists?
You know, here's an interesting concept. You know, I remember being young and being full of, you know, I practiced a lot of hours and you know, I got fairly good. Because I, you know, after 10,000 hours of practicing, you know, you're gonna hopefully get to a whole new level. And at some point I remember being a little full of myself. And you know, I look back, and if I could change that, that's the thing that I would change, is, like, you know, the ego thing, because it I don't think that gets anybody anywhere. You know, I think I'd go back and just, because in the whole scheme of life, I mean, you know, I look at things now, like, do I want to be remembered as a musician or a great human being?
Yeah.
You know, and mm-hmm. I think human being to me just trumps all now. You know, it's not about the you know, I do music for a living, but it doesn't define who I am. Mm. You know, at the end of the day, I'm a human being, and I'd much rather be a great human being.
Yeah.
You know, and believe me, I fall short, but everyone else does too, right?
I was gonna try to rate my professor. You got some high scores.
Did
some
I
chilies.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious.
We did a little research.
Did you really?
Yeah.
That's so funny.
There's one. I wonder if I can find it.
Are you about to embarrass me?
Some of these are weird, but all great, like fives across the board.
Wow.
Yeah, people love you.
Well, I paid them.
Extra credit.
They're all me. Those are all my reviews.
All your aliases. That's funny. No, that I like that, though. Just like being remembered, I think.
Yeah.
That's cool. All right. We're going to take a real quick break, but here's a message from our sponsors at Urban Vinyl.
Urban Vinyl Headphones is our sponsor. We're here with Christian, one of the founders. Now, Christian, there's plenty of plastic headphones out there. What makes Urban Vinyl different?
So first off, we don't use plastic. The Urban Vinyl Classics are handcrafted with mahogany wood that both enhances the audio quality and looks.
I wear the Classics for hours here in the studio. My ears never hurt. What's the secret?
Our headphones have an oval-shaped design and memory foam padding, so they are super comfortable for mixing and casual listening.
I'm no audio expert, but these do sound pretty great.
You could get any plastic headphone, but with the Urban Vinyl Classics, each pair is just as unique as its wood grain.
Get your pair of the classics at urbanvinyl.org. And remember, use promo code Tuesdays to get 15% off.
Alrighty, we are back with Gino. Gino, let's talk a little bit about Night Owl Productions. So you are the founder of Night Owl Productions. Why don't you tell listeners just a little bit about what that is?
So Night Owl Productions, it's basically a company that provides entertainment for your events. So weddings, corporate parties, whatever. I mean, you know, yesterday I did something for Chick-fil-A.
Nice.
And the day before, I mean, there's always something. There's always just, you know, things that just come up. It's really become a busy thing for me that I have to start outsourcing it to an assistant that helps me out with so many things now. Because I do have a job. But that's what it is. I mean, I basically have people that come to me looking for music for their events. So from a DJ, and I always tell people, I could if you want a full orchestra, I could do a full orchestra.
Yeah.
So, and anything in between. You know, if you can dream it, I could do it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And where do you have like students, or is it people you know?
So I formed Night Owl because I have to give credit to someone that I've never given credit to before. He's actually a former student, and he started something called Downbeat LA.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So it's similar. We both do the same things. So this guy, his name's Diego. Diego. Do you know Diego's last name? I can't think of his last name right now. But Diego, he formed this thing, and he started having some success. And I was thinking, like, those are all my former students doing this, right? Mm-hmm. So I should back up a little bit. At Citrus College, we have like this thing that around the school, we call it Pop Rock. And that program that I do does 50 to 80 events every year. So we're at weddings, we're at corporate parties, we're at country clubs. Like this weekend, we have 6 gigs through Citrus College alone.
Wow.
We're at 2 major hotels Friday and a country club in the desert. We're building a full-on stage in the desert and putting a big band and this pop rock thing on it.
Yeah.
And then Tuesday, we're back in the desert building another stage at another country club. Then Saturday, we're at another country club in the desert building another stage with a band on it. It's just crazy how busy that thing's really become. You know, I think the key thing about what I do is that it's all young, energetic people.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that to me is like the biggest thing that's different from most companies that do what I do is everyone's young, no one's jaded by the music industry yet.
Yeah.
Everyone's excited to do their thing, and it shows. I mean, it's unbelievable, like when with the lights and the sound and everything that's going on. It's really turned into a thing. So with that said, Diego was taking some of my former students and was doing the same thing outside of the college, and he had some great success. Mm-hmm. And there was all these students, former students, that weren't doing anything. So I figured, hey, you know what? He's having success with this. I'm having great success with the college program. I should just do this. So I found it was really weird. I found this baker in Monrovia that had this restaurant, right?
Yeah.
And he was like, hey, man, can you just do something in the street here? And I was like, sure, man, like, whatever. And, I mean, there's no money involved. I was just kind of doing it with alumni, right?
Yeah.
And it turned into a thing that they had to shut him down because it was blocking off the street. And it was
so many people came?
Oh, yeah, just people.
No way.
It was just crazy. That the Monrovia Street Fair on Friday night, it just became a thing that they were just like, dad, we're done with this.
Dang.
So from that, like, I realized, like, oh, you know what? Maybe I could keep, you know, pushing this forward. And I just, you know, I've been doing this 5 years now, and it's a busy thing. I mean, it's really turned into something that just keeps evolving and evolving and evolving, I just see it. You know, when I started, I was doing this street fair thing, right? So now I'm doing things for SeaWorld, and I'm producing a show for SeaWorld in San Antonio. Yeah, I'm trying to move into more of like that corporate world as opposed to the weddings. I mean, don't get me wrong, I won't stop doing weddings because it's a great opportunity for young people.
Yeah.
And that's what this is all about. Mm-hmm. I created this because I realized that a lot of former students were not doing anything with their abilities. And they're working at places like Target or Taco Bell which is, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you could work on a Saturday night and make the same amount of money working for me one day as opposed to working a whole week at Taco Bell or wherever, that to me was just a better option because now you could practice all week long and pursue your dreams, right?
Yeah.
And it, to me, it's like a middle ground. Like, and I make sure to tell these young people, like, listen, I don't want you to be here when you're 30, maybe not even 25 or 26. You need to get out of here at some point, right?
Yeah.
Or I have to figure out how to up the ante to where you're making like way more money, right? But to me, like something that I truly understand is that it's a cover band, and it's kind of like a dead end job, like I don't want to paint the wrong picture with this, but I want these students to figure it out, to get into like the Katy Perry world, or to get into the Halsey world, or you know, I have former students in Andy Grammer's band. Neil Young's band, you know, just kind of like operating on the world level. And this to me is kind of like that stepping stone.
Yeah.
And that's what this is to me, is that this is just kind of like that middle ground. Don't spend a lot of time here. Do this, move on.
Yeah. You know? Content and experience, essentially.
Absolutely. It's just more experience. You're able to make some money without spending a lot of time doing it.
Yeah.
You know?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
And
go ahead, please.
Do you perform with them, or then are you kind of
sometimes? You know, I've just become so busy that it's hard for me to just keep the chops up. You know, I do play, but you know it's just hard to do everything. You know,
yeah.
I have a couple businesses outside of my full time job, and I have a lot of responsibilities at Citrus. So with that said, I mean, you know, and I have a kid too, and with the businesses and my job, he comes first. I mean, he's like my number one priority. So like, mm-hmm. you know, I think at some point, you know, I made a conscious decision, like, am I going to spend time with him, or am I going to be that musician that locks himself in the room and practices and ignores my kid?
Yeah.
And you know, I chose my kid, and I'll always choose my kid. You know,
that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. That's cool. I mean.
But that's great. You're a great father. No, really though, that is awesome, because I'm sure that there's in that industry, there's, you know, every other guy is probably, you know, choosing the industry and the momentum over.
It could
some
be.
Important
I mean,
things.
It could be exciting. I get it. I mean, but you know, at the end of the day, I mean, you know, I feel like, you know, this is what I want to do, and this is what I do. I mean, like. And it's tough at times because I have a lot of things going on, but I have to dedicate my time to that kid, and you know, and one day he's going to be gone, right? And then it'll be different,
yeah.
Right? So, in the meantime, we hang out.
That's cool.
He's my little buddy, right?
Does he got some good chops yet?
Does he have some chops?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, he plays drums, and he was playing, you know, upright bass in school, and cool. He took up trumpet, and I'm trying to tell him, like, no, man, dude, stick to the drums, take up guitar or something, you know?
Yeah.
The girls will like you if you play guitar, you know?
That's funny. So, like, when you're, just like, for you, what's your favorite type of gig? Like, when you were gigging, or even now, like what gets you excited in terms of like playing?
You know, I love playing with my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is like the most exciting now. Like if someone says like, hey man, like we got this thing and it, you know, there's no money, there's, you know, to me, if it's like my buddies,
mm-hmm.
I could care less about the money.
Yeah.
You know, it's that to me is what it's all about now. It's like creating like these memories, musical memories with my, you know, my friends.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously when I was a working musician, it was a lot different. I mean, I said yes to everything and anything, you know.
Yeah.
I had to do whatever I had to do to support myself.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, you know, I guess time dictates what gets me excited, right?
Yeah.
When I was a young guy and I needed money to pay rent, someone said, I have a gig that pays $200. I was really excited, you know, because I was going to get to eat and pay rent, you know? Yeah. But now, you know, it's not about the money anymore. It's about the friends.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So, obviously, you know a lot of people. You've played with a lot of people, had all these different experiences. Throughout all of that, what do you think has kept you the most grounded and the most focused on what you want and who you want to be? You know, what do you think has kept you kind of your vision clear throughout your career?
That's a good question. And I don't know if it's a good answer, but I have an answer for you.
Okay.
Because it's something that I think about every day.
Mm.
And it's this. At some point, when I was a young man, I was a very bitter, chip on the shoulder kind of guy, you know? And, you know, it's dealing with things that happened in my past, you know, just part of it was like, you know, growing up without a father. I mean, that really, really left a mark on me. But at some point, you know, going back to my mentor, you know, we had a lot of discussions, and maybe some weren't discussions, maybe some of them were him threatening me to kick me out of a program.
Yeah.
You know, one-sided discussions.
Yeah.
And because I had such a chip on my shoulder, you know, one day he just kind of like, he just had this talk with me and said like, hey, listen, man, you have a choice to be happy. And we went through this whole spiel, and he gave me some stuff to read, and just something like made sense, like something just clicked. And whatever tools he gave me that day, I use to this very day. And it's very simple. It's way too simple for I think it's so simple that people think that's too simple and it can't work. But mm-hmm. I'm proof that it does work. I choose to be happy daily. You know, it's a choice that I make every single day of my life. I make conscious decisions about everything that I do on a daily basis. What I'm going to eat, you know.
Yeah.
You know, what I'm going to spend my time doing. I mean, everything. I'm constantly thinking about these choices. And I try my very best to make good choices. Sometimes I don't make the best choices, but I'm always in search of making these good choices. So with that said, I make sure to take the time for me every single day. I start my day with a walk and I reflect. Hmm. And I think about what's going on with me, and I think about me, and I really choose me. I don't know if I'm making sense to you.
No, yeah.
But it's something that I'm very aware of. I think about what's important daily. You know, what's the big picture, right?
Yeah.
I mean, is it money? It's not money. I mean, you know, you strip me of money, I'm still who I am. Strip me of music. You know, is it going to be a little painful? Yeah, it is, but I still am going to be who I am.
Yeah.
And I think just understanding that, like what is it that you can't take away from me, right?
Mm.
And
yeah.
you can't
yeah,
take
yeah,
me
yeah.
away from me.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm always in search of like making the best me that I possibly could. And, you know, again, I do fall short. It's part of being a human being, right?
Mm.
But it's something that I'm constantly aware of, and it's something that I think of the second that I wake up. I'm thankful to wake up every single morning, you know, because I know that someday it's not going to happen, right?
Yeah.
And so I make sure to give my thanks and appreciate everything that I have going on the second that I open my eyes,
yeah.
right? And from there, it's hard to ruin my day, right?
Yeah.
I've got a great life. I've got a beautiful kid. Now what are you going to throw at me?
Yeah.
It's going to be pretty hard to ruin my day.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
then, you know, off of that, what's your advice? A student comes to you just, you know, looking for wisdom or looking for advice, music, school, you know, social life, whatever it is, what's almost like the golden piece of advice you would just give to a student if they just came looking for some wisdom or encouragement?
You know, anyone that spends a lot of time with me, you know, which is pretty much all of my students,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're around each other a lot because we're doing a lot of things together. Like I definitely have a mantra, and it's work hard and be nice,
mm.
or be cool, you know? It's those two things that I think really have gotten me anywhere. Like I said, I put in a lot of hours. Sometimes it's hard even for my friends to be around me. Sometimes it's hard for my business partners to be around me. It's like, hey, put your phone down. Let's hang out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I get it. I totally get it. But it's you know, sometimes I have to like put myself in check. Like, yeah, you're right. This is the time that we should be interacting with each other. Mm-hmm. But, you know, making sure that I try to treat everybody the same. I try to treat my bosses the same that I would, you know, some kid out of the blue and that just shows up asking silly questions the same way as I would my boss.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's important just being even across the board. And sometimes it's difficult, but I think that's it. Work hard and be nice.
Nice.
You know?
That's cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this is last chance. If you want to plug anything, if you want to do any shout-outs.
You know what? There's another business that I have.
Okay.
And I don't know if you found this or not. Did you happen to find another business at all?
You tell me the name and maybe I did.
So it's called 37 Studios. 37 St. Joseph Studios.
Okay.
And it's something that I just recently started doing, and it's kind of exciting in that my business partners are pretty incredible. They're pretty incredible at what they do for a living. So one of them is Ibute Cervantes, right? And Ibute is kind of like one of the world authorities on playback now. Like, he's anywhere from Bieber, the Academy Awards, the Grammys. I mean, you name it. I mean, he's going on the road with Bruno Mars in the summer.
Oh, wow.
You know, he was supposed to help me out with the SeaWorld thing. Mm-hmm. He calls me up last week. He's like, hey, I have a problem. What is it? I got a gig with Bruno Mars, but it's during SeaWorld. It's like, dude, go with Bruno Mars, man. Yeah, like, we'll figure this out, you know? We'll call in some other friends that we got in Las Vegas doing Cirque du Soleil, but get out of here, man. Are you kidding me? You know,
awesome.
It's the biggest act on the planet.
Yeah.
You know, and the other guy is Zach Rudolph, who's the bass player and musical director for Andy Grammer's band.
Okay.
And these two guys are like some of the nicest guys that you'll ever meet. They're very, very good at what they do, both with APU ties. You know, do you know Zach? No. You know, just world class people, and happen to be world class at what they do for a living too, you know. So it's been exciting, you know. It's catching some steam pretty fast instantly. So I wanted to make sure that I got that in just in case those guys were listening, because they'd probably get upset with me if I didn't.
Heck yeah, dude. Well, we got it plugged. Maybe shout out to Pop One or PPROC3. They gave you some pretty good reviews on Rate My Professor.
Those pop kids at Citrus is hilarious.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Gino, for coming in. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
That was Gino Munoz. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you next week on the Music Industry Insiders Podcast. The Music Industry Insiders Podcast is a production of Idle Tuesday's Recording Studio, an LA-based nonprofit. Today's podcast has been produced by Sarah Gonzalez, Julia Antonio, Anthony Grant, Natalie Chan, and Connor Haddon. Thanks again for joining us. Tune in next time for another insightful episode of the Music Industry Insiders Podcast.